The Book of Daniel, Number 64. Unveiling Prophecy, Connecting September 11, 2001 to the Sealing Time, Latter Rain, and the Final Work of Christ.
In the recent articles, we have been referring to a few passages from the Spirit of Prophecy that identify a period of time from September 11, 2001 until Michael stands up and human probation closes. During that period of time, there are a handful of prophetic illustrations which identify the final work of Christ in the most holy place. The work of Christ in the sanctuary is represented in the vision of the Ulai River of Daniel chapter 8, and Sister White has informed us that the vision of the Ulai River is now in the process of fulfillment. The final work accomplished in the heavenly sanctuary, which is now in the process of fulfillment, is represented in a variety of prophetic terms. It is represented as, among other prophetic representations, the sealing time, the latter rain, the closing work of salvation, and the cleansing of the temple. It is important to bring those terms together and also to place them in their correct historical setting.
At that time, while the work of salvation is closing, trouble will be coming on the earth, and the nations will be angry, yet held in check so as not to prevent the work of the third angel. At that time, the latter rain, or refreshing from the presence of the Lord, will come, to give power to the loud voice of the third angel, and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues shall be poured out. Early Writings, 85.
The work of the third angel is also the work of salvation, which prepares the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues shall be poured out.
And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Revelation 11 verse 18.
The nations are angered before probation closes, which is when God's wrath is poured out. Yet when the nations are angered, they are also held in check. The time when the nations are angered identifies the beginning of the closing work of salvation, and the closing work of salvation is the sealing of God's people.
The true people of God, who have the spirit of the work of the Lord and the salvation of souls at heart, will ever view sin in its real, sinful character. They will always be on the side of faithful and plain dealing with sins which easily beset the people of God. Especially in the closing work for the church, in the sealing time of the 144,000 who are to stand without fault before the throne of God, will they feel most deeply the wrongs of God's professed people. This is forcibly set forth by the prophet's illustration of the last work under the figure of the men each having a slaughter weapon in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Testimonies, Volume 3, 266.
The nations are held in check so as to not prevent the sealing of the 144,000. In Revelation chapter 7, the angry nations that are held in check are represented as four winds that are held in check during that very same period of time. And that time is specifically identified as a period of time.
Satan is now using every device in this sealing time to keep the minds of God's people from the present truth and to cause them to waver. I saw a covering that God was drawing over his people to protect them in the time of trouble, and every soul that was decided on the truth and was pure in heart was to be covered with the covering of the Almighty. Satan knew this. And he was at work in mighty power to keep the minds of as many people as he possibly could wavering and unsettled on the truth. I saw that Satan was at work in these ways to distract, deceive, and draw away God's people, just now in this sealing time. I saw some who were not standing stiffly for present truth. Their knees were trembling, and their feet sliding, because they were not firmly planted on the truth, and the covering of Almighty God could not be drawn over them while they were thus trembling. Satan was trying his every art to hold them where they were, until the sealing was passed, until the covering was drawn over God's people, and they left without a shelter from the burning wrath of God, in the seven last plagues. God has begun to draw this covering over his people, and it will soon be drawn over all who are to have a shelter in the day of slaughter. God will work in power for his people, and Satan will be permitted to work also. Early Writings, 43:44.
Sister White wrote these words in 1851, 5 years before God's people entered into the Laodicean condition, and delayed the sealing process by rejecting the increased light of the seven times. That light would have increased and finished God's work of covering his people in advance of the seven last plagues. Instead, God's people rebelled and were consigned to wander in the wilderness of Laodicea, as typified by ancient Israel's rebellion and wilderness wandering. How many of ancient Israel's rebels entered into the promised land? What passage in the Bible or the spirit of prophecy identifies any Laodiceans that will be saved? The answer is none. For a Laodicean is just as lost as those of ancient Israel who died in the wilderness. The sealing of the 144,000 is a period of time, and it begins when the four angels restrain the four winds, which is also when the nations are angered, yet held in check. During the sealing time, God prepares his people to stand in the time of the seven last plagues, and that preparation is represented as pulling a covering over his people, and it is also represented as finishing the work of salvation and finishing the work of the third angel. The preparation which is represented by all these illustrations is based upon the reception of present truth. Those who will not stand stiffly for present truth are those who were wavering, because their minds were not focused upon present truth. She writes that she saw some who were not standing stiffly for present truth. Their knees were trembling and their feet sliding, because they were not firmly planted on the truth, and the covering of Almighty God could not be drawn over them while they were thus trembling. The present truth is what provides the covering, and the covering is also represented as the seal of God. The seal of God was typified by the blood that covered the doors of the Hebrews, that allowed the destroying angel to pass over the homes where the door was covered with the blood. The covering is the sealing, and the sealing is accomplished by the present truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. Every reform movement had its own specific theme, and the theme of the reformatory movement of the 144,000 is Islam of the Third Woe. The present truth in the last days is Islam of the Third Woe.
The scriptures are constantly opening to the people of God. There always has been and always will be a truth specially applicable to each generation. Review and Herald, June 29, 1886.
It is a present truth message that seals God's people in the last days, and the sealing time is represented as beginning when the four winds are held in check. The nations were angered on September 11, 2001, and at that point the sealing of the 144,000 began as the latter rain, which is a message, began to be unsealed.
To John were opened scenes of deep and thrilling interest in the experience of the church. He saw the position, dangers, conflicts, and final deliverance of the people of God. He records the closing messages which are to ripen the harvest of the earth, either as sheaves for the heavenly garner or as faggots for the fires of destruction. Subjects of vast importance were revealed to him, especially for the last church, that those who should turn from error to truth might be instructed concerning the perils and conflicts before them. None need be in darkness in regard to what is coming upon the earth. The Great Controversy, 341.
When the nations were angered, they were simultaneously held in check, and the latter rain began to fall, and the latter rain is the message of present truth that seals God's people.
The work in Battle Creek is after the same order. The leaders in the sanitarium have mingled with unbelievers, admitting them to their councils, more or less, but it is like going to work with their eyes shut. They lack the discernment to see what is going to break upon us at any time. There is a spirit of desperation, of war and bloodshed, and that spirit will increase until the very close of time. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it is not any seal or mark that can be seen, but a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so they cannot be moved. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. Indeed, it has begun already. The judgments of God are now upon the land, to give us warning, that we may know what is coming. Manuscript Releases, Volume 10, 252.
The sealing is a settling into truth. In the context of the sealing time, she writes, there is a spirit of desperation, of war and bloodshed, and that spirit will increase until the very close of time. When the nations are angered, they will be held in check, but the war and bloodshed, represented as the four winds, will increase until the very close of time. Islam of the Third Woe progressively escalates its warfare until the very close of time. And the prophetic understanding of Islam as the theme in the Reformation of the 144,000 simultaneously increases during the same period of time. The progressive escalation accomplished by Islam runs parallel to the outpouring of the latter rain during the identical period of time, for the latter rain is a message.
The anointed ones standing by the Lord of the whole earth have the position once given to Satan as covering cherub. By the holy beings surrounding his throne, the Lord keeps up a constant communication with the inhabitants of the earth. The golden oil represents the grace with which God keeps the lamps of believers supplied, that they shall not flicker and go out. Were it not that this holy oil is poured from heaven in the messages of God's Spirit, the agencies of evil would have entire control over men. God is dishonored when we do not receive the communications which He sends us. Thus we refuse the golden oil which He would pour into our souls to be communicated to those in darkness. When the call shall come, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him, those who have not received the holy oil, who have not cherished the grace of Christ in their hearts, will find, like the foolish virgins, that they are not ready to meet their Lord. They have not, in themselves, the power to obtain the oil, and their lives are wrecked. But if God's Holy Spirit is asked for, if we plead, as did Moses, show me thy glory, the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts. Through the golden pipes, the golden oil will be communicated to us. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By receiving the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, God's children shine as lights in the world. Review and Herald, July 20, 1897.
The latter rain begins to sprinkle and ultimately escalates to a full outpouring. The sprinkling of the latter rain is identified as the rain being measured, and the full outpouring is when it is poured out without measure. Sister White clearly identifies a time when the latter rain is falling, and some receive it, and some don't. At that time, the rain is being measured, or it is sprinkling. Some people will recognize that something is happening, but it will only frighten them.
There is to be in the churches a wonderful manifestation of the power of God, but it will not move upon those who have not humbled themselves before the Lord and opened the door of their heart by confession and repentance. In the manifestation of that power which lightens the earth with the glory of God, they will see only something which in their blindness they think dangerous, something which will arouse their fears, and they will brace themselves to resist it. Because the Lord does not work according to their expectations and ideal, they will oppose the work. Why, they say, should we not know the Spirit of God, when we have been in the work so many years? Because they did not respond to the warnings, the entreaties, of the messages of God, but persistently said, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Maranatha, 219. Many have in a great measure failed to receive the former rain. They have not obtained all the benefits that God has thus provided for them. They expect that the lack will be supplied by the latter rain. When the richest abundance of grace shall be bestowed, they intend to open their hearts to receive it. They are making a terrible mistake. The work that God has begun in the human heart in giving His light and knowledge must be continually going forward. Every individual must realize his own necessity. The heart must be emptied of every defilement and cleansed for the indwelling of the Spirit. It was by the confession and forsaking of sin, by earnest prayer and consecration of themselves to God, that the early disciples prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The same work, only in greater degree, must be done now. Then the human agent had only to ask for the blessing, and wait for the Lord to perfect the work concerning him. It is God who began the work, and he will finish his work, making man complete in Jesus Christ. But there must be no neglect of the grace represented by the former rain. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. Testimonies to Ministers, 506-507.
In the passage, she identifies that there is a time when the richest abundance of grace shall be bestowed, thus identifying a time when the latter rain is poured out without measure. In connection with that fact, she identifies that only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. In that principle, it is clear that the light, which is the present truth, progressively increases. In the last sentence, she identifies a time when the latter rain is falling, and some are recognizing and receiving it, and others are not. If you don't recognize the message, which is the latter rain, you will not receive it.
We must not wait for the latter rain. It is coming upon all who will recognize and appropriate the dew and showers of grace that fall upon us. When we gather up the fragments of light, when we appreciate the sure mercies of God, who loves to have us trust Him, then every promise will be fulfilled. Isaiah 61 verse 11 quoted, "The whole earth is to be filled with the glory of God." The Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, Volume 7, 984.
At the time when the angry nations are held in check, the latter rain begins to be measured. When the richest abundance of grace shall be bestowed, is identifying when the latter rain is poured out without measure. At the time when the nations are angered, yet held in check, the latter rain begins to fall, but it is measured because the church at that point is mixed with wheat and tares. It is the rain that brings both the wheat and the tares to maturity, and the latter rain is the message of present truth that is either recognized and received or not. All of these prophetic concepts are clearly identified in the scriptures. On September 11, 2001, the latter rain began to sprinkle, and it escalates progressively until the midnight cry message arrives, and the wise and foolish virgins are forever separated. The wise are then lifted up as an ensign to call God's other flock out of Babylon, and the latter rain is then poured out without measure and continues to fall until Michael stands up and human probation closes.
I saw that the four angels would hold the four winds until Jesus' work was done in the sanctuary, and then will come the seven last plagues. Early Writings, 36.
The holding of the four winds represents God's providential control over the escalating judgments that He allows to take place in the last days. The four angels hold the four winds during the sealing time of the 144,000. But in that period of time, there is the spirit of desperation, of war and bloodshed, and that spirit will increase. When the last of God's children have been sealed, Michael will stand up and the four winds will be fully released, and the seven last plagues will arrive. In the hour of the great earthquake of Revelation chapter 11, the troublous times of Daniel chapter 9, when the street and wall are finished, is the time when the nations will be angry. In that time period, the latter rain will be poured out in measure. Isaiah identifies the time when the latter rain is measured, and he marks that time as the day of the east wind. The day of the east wind was September 11, 2001. We will continue to consider the measuring of the latter rain in the next article, but it should be remembered that the jewel of Miller's dream that is represented upon the sacred tables of Habakkuk as the three woes of Islam is to shine 10 times brighter in the last days than when it was first gathered together by Miller.
On one occasion, when in New York City, I was in the night season called upon to behold buildings rising story after story toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof, and they were erected to glorify their owners and builders. Higher and still higher these buildings rose, and in them the most costly material was used. Those to whom these buildings belonged were not asking themselves, "How can we best glorify God?" The Lord was not in their thoughts. I thought, "Oh, that those who are thus investing their means could see their course as God sees it. They are piling up magnificent buildings, But how foolish in the sight of the ruler of the universe is their planning and devising! They are not studying with all the powers of heart and mind how they may glorify God. They have lost sight of this, the first duty of man. As these lofty buildings went up, the owners rejoiced with ambitious pride that they had money to use in gratifying self and provoking the envy of their neighbors. Much of the money that they thus invested had been obtained through exaction, through grinding down the poor. They forgot that in heaven an account of every business transaction is kept, every unjust deal, every fraudulent act, is there recorded. The time is coming when in their fraud and insolence men will reach a point that the Lord will not permit them to pass, and they will learn that there is a limit to the forbearance of Jehovah. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at the lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings and said, "They are perfectly safe." But these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. I am instructed that when the Lord's time comes, should no change have taken place in the hearts of proud, ambitious human beings, men will find that the hand that had been strong to save will be strong to destroy. No earthly power can stay the hand of God. No material can be used in the erection of buildings that will preserve them from destruction when God's appointed time comes to send retribution on men for their disregard of His law and for their selfish ambition. Testimonies, Volume 9, 12, 13.